Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. John Janczewski is with us, ladies and gentlemen. John is an entrepreneur. Now, he's not a new entrepreneur. He's been doing this for a while, but he's one of those guys that took an idea, turned it into something, and then was able to operate his business, to run his business. Not everybody can do that, and his company is called Dentech, and we're going to get him to tell us about the good, the bad, and the ugly of being the founder and the operator of this business for the last 25 years. John Janczewski, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. Good to have you on the show. John, and by the way, congratulations on your 25th anniversary. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
That was earlier this year, right?
It was March 14th.
Congratulations. Tell the audience, tell our audience the story about how you got this business. What caused you to get this business started?
Sure. Well, I was 21 years old, and I was in college and a DJ at the time. And my dad, being a dentist, he had had a lot of requests from his patients if they could buy one of those dental scalers. It's the metal device that scrapes tartar and plaque off your teeth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they wanted them for home use. Mm-hmm. And so he felt that the instruments provided by the dental profession are obviously much sharper,
right,
and more aggressive in design. So he made a modified scaler and called it the Dental Pick, and he asked me if I could start a company based on that concept.
Well, see, John, what you may not have had in this story that you may have completely underestimated was the genius of your father. Not that he invented the dental pick, not that he thought that you should run this company, but that he saw you in radio, and he said, there's no future in that for my boy. And you have no idea the genius of that decision that he made for you. And after all these years, you probably didn't know that, and I now am just revealing it to you.
Well, I appreciate that perspective, Jim.
So you need to go. Is your father still alive?
He is.
Well, you need to go thank him for saving you from a career in radio.
It's really that bad, huh?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I did love being a DJ, but
it's fun. But just having some fun here, folks.
Great.
So John, so your dad said, I got this contraption here. And you're 21, you got nothing to lose, let's give it a shot.
Well, that's a big part of it, when you have nothing to lose. It's easy to make a big change in your life if you don't have anybody depending on you.
If you fail, you get a lesson.
Yeah, we failed,
right?
A lot. We fail continuously.
Oh, really?
Sure.
What was your first big, let's go back, let's slow down a little. All right, so he said, so what did you think at first when he told you this? Did you say, I don't want to be in the dental stuff business?
No, you know, it was fun because I had always been considered by him to be a complete failure. And, you know, he always said, you're never going to amount to anything. And it kind of wrote me off.
Now, your other brother had already tried this, hadn't he?
He did. And
failed.
That business got shut down and stopped with $150,000 of debt and zero sales, and it sat idle for 1 year. No office, no inventory, no sales, just nothing. So it was I was kind of elated that he actually needed me for something. That was kind of special, and I kind of was his last resort.
Right.
Because he had had a lot of consultants kind of just take money and do nothing in the business. And so my first job was to come on as 21-year-old and fire all of his senior consultants. That was enjoyable.
Yeah. And so then what did you do? What was your first decision besides after that?
Well, he had a mini storage business besides his dental practice. And so I had a little tiny office. It's a mini storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
and I had one light bulb and went in there and sat down, and I go, what the hell do I do?
So that was basically your kitchen table, wasn't it?
Yeah, or my garage, you know. And I just said, oh, I need inventory. I need to sell something. I have to have something to sell and to make money. So I got my product designed, and I got in a plane, and I went to Taiwan at the time, which was similar to China.
Why did you go to Taiwan? What would you, I know you were looking for a manufacturer, but did you think about a U.S. manufacturer?
One of my dad's patients had marine manufacturing in Taiwan.
Ah.
And Taiwan was similar to China in terms of cost and labor.
Right.
And sophistication back
right.
then.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up going there by myself and finding all of the different manufacturers and finally selecting one that I thought would
And so you find that, and then you start making the products and start selling them.
Yeah, well, we had to make the products.
What was the first product?
The first product was the dental pick.
That was the one where you could scrape the plaque off your teeth.
Yeah, between visits at the dentist. If you're tartar intensive, you can scrape that stuff off so your visits are a little easier. So I flew home, and I said, well, how do I sell these things as they're being made?
Because this is not like everybody knows what this is.
You mean
right.
the product?
Yeah.
Right. No one had really seen scalers.
I mean, there's no huge demand for this thing, right?
Well, there actually was. It was just unmet.
But they didn't know they had a demand for it. Because if you don't know the product's available, you don't want it.
Well, yeah, they just wanted the professional.
That's right.
You know, we knew that demand existed.
So my point is you had to kind of create awareness before you could sell the product.
Right, right. That was a challenge. So the question was, how do we get our first awareness campaign?
Yeah, how'd you do that?
Well, I was standing in line at a grocery store, and I said, well, this product is amazing. I mean, it removes tartar, and it whitens your teeth. And I said, who's going to believe this? And I was looking at the National Enquirer, and they had aliens, you know, I made love to an alien.
The people who would buy National Enquirer would believe your story. Is that what you're saying?
That's actually what I said.
If they'll buy this story, they'll buy my story.
Yeah. So
and you knew National Enquirer was getting rich selling their stories.
Well, they had a 3.5 million circulation. It was $30,000 to run a quarter page ad, and I had a $30,000 line of credit, and so I bet the farm on that ad.
Wow.
And I put a picture of my girlfriend on there, big pretty smile, and I said, "We can make your teeth brighter and whiter."
That's ingenious. The pretty girl always works. Hey,
yeah.
John, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. John Janczewski is with us, folks. His company is called Dentech. And we're going to be right back with this great American entrepreneurial success story. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And check out all the other things that we have there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. John Janczewski is with us, ladies and gentlemen. John, am I saying your name correctly?
Perfectly. Thank you.
John Janczewski. With a name like Blassingame, John, I try to get other people's names correct.
I appreciate that.
And he is his story is a wonderful American entrepreneurial success story. We've been talking about that. John, tell us the name of your company.
Dentech Oral Care.
Dentech, D-E-N-T-E-K, Oral Care. And it's all about flossing and picking and scraping and grinding and maybe not so much grinding, right?
Well, a little bit of that, but preventive dentistry in general.
I see. So if you need to get your teeth cleaned, of course, part of it's just ongoing everyday stuff, right?
Yeah, preventive is brushing, flossing, cleaning between the teeth.
Yeah. But some of your stuff is what kind of lets you extend the time between cleaning, right?
Well, that's the first product, the dental pick.
Yeah, the very first one.
Yeah, because
I've never used one of those.
Oh, what do you do between visits? Just the brushing?
I brush and floss.
Yeah, how often do you floss?
And eat. Usually at least once a day.
Honestly?
Okay, maybe every other day. Hey, John, come on. I don't mind flossing, but I'll tell you what. You've got a product that helps with that, the little handle thing.
Oh, Yeah, those are the Dentec floss picks. They've really made the biggest impact.
I've got some of those. I like them.
They're a great product and a great idea.
And because I can do them with one hand.
Yeah, and you don't have to wrap the floss around your fingers.
I can floss with one hand, and I can use a remote with the other hand, or hold a beer, or margarita, whatever, you know.
That's multitasking.
Exactly. No problem. Folks, give us the website, John.
Website is Dentec, DENTEK.com.
Can they buy from your website?
They can. Everything that's available on the website is available in stores like your Walgreens, Walmart, Target,
right.
CVS. So.
But now your little flossing pick thing has a tool on the other end too, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have a floss on one end and a really well-designed inner dental stimulator or toothpick on the other.
Yeah.
And that's important because if you can floss and pick, you're getting the advantage of gum stimulation.
You don't get this kind of stuff on any radio show, folks. You got to come to our show to get this kind of oral hygiene information. John, yes. Folks, John started a business 25 years ago. It's now $100 million in sales?
Actually, in retail sales, it's about $120.
Congratulations. And that's from being, you know, John, people talk about being undercapitalized.
Yeah.
But that presumes you had some capital in the beginning. You started with $150,000 in debt. You were negative capital.
We were, and that was one of the things. I teach some business school at University of Tennessee, and
yeah.
That's one of my first mistakes I made is I thought it would be cool to be 50% owner.
Right.
That was my goal, and I actually assumed, you know, half of that debt right upon signing on.
Right.
And that was not a very smart
thing. That was a mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah, I should have said, sure, I'll sign, but I want you to eliminate all the debt and call
right.
it paid in capital. That would have been smart. But I was, you know.
But you learned that lesson. What was the biggest mistake you made in the last 25 years?
Hard to put them in terms of size, the biggest one.
What's the one that remembers itself more than any other?
That one. But one time we got sued by Johnson & Johnson, and this is when we were a lot smaller, and it was over alleged trademark infringement. And we ended up fighting it instead of just rolling over and playing dead.
Yeah.
And I would recommend to roll over and play dead.
What would that have entailed? Did you win the suit, by the way?
No, of course not.
You lost the suit.
We had a lot of legal reasons to win. And I can get into them if you... If
no, we don't have time for that. Yeah. But were you in the right?
I believe that we were.
But you still lost.
Yeah, we lost.
What would rolling over and playing dead have done?
It would have saved us $150,000.
But what would have been the result of that, besides the money?
The result of that would have been the same result that we ended up with, which is change the name to something that they were okay with.
So you should have just said, okay, fine, we'll change the name to what you want. But you got up on your hind legs and said, I'm not going to let these big guys do me this way.
That is true.
Little also, ego?
I was encouraged, some ego, but I was encouraged by my attorney who said, this is a slam dunk, you should win this. You've
of
done
course
everything
your
right.
attorney will say that.
Right, right. Now, I'm not going on the attorney hunt or anything,
yeah.
But I'm just saying if your limited capital, which we still were, even 13 years into the business, we just should have taken our medicine.
You know, John, I've got one of my mentors once told me, sometimes you got a fighting chance. And sometimes you just have a chance to fight.
Yeah, well, that was actually one of the reasons I moved to East Tennessee from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Was I realized we're such a small, little, insignificant element in the industry of CPG
right.
that it's ridiculous. Either we have to put all of our resources, 100% of our profits back into the business and have the lowest cost of operating, or just sell the company.
Yeah.
Because there's no in-between.
Right.
And
yep.
so we just...
That's a good lesson for all of us. Give us the website one more time.
Give us what?
The website one more time.
Oh, Dentec, D-E-N-T-E-K, Dentec.com.
Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. John, will you come back and keep us posted on your story?
Absolutely.
You got more to teach us. Thanks for being here. Good job. By the way, congratulations again on 25 years.
Thank you, Jim.
A great American entrepreneurial success story, folks. Check it out at Dentec.com. John Jancheski is our guest. He'll be back another day. I got to take a quick break. I'll be back after the news, 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.